Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a wonderful start to your Sunday. It is Sunday. It's hard to believe it's already the middle of November, but yet here we are. And obviously, this is a special Sunday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Dave Mason, one of the great minds from BetOnline.ag, one of the title sponsors of the Locked On Podcast Network shows. He was kind enough to join me late last week discussing some fun odds when it comes to Ja Morant, the Grizzlies bench, and the Grizzlies as a whole as this season progresses. In the second part of this show, we'll talk about those odds with Dave. But before we get to that, obviously want to talk about the recent struggles of the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, free on all platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, obviously on YouTube as well. This is an audio-only edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Brandon Abraham of Grizzly Bear Blues will be joining me for our regular week's worth of YouTube shows for Monday's show. He'll be joining me to discuss all things Memphis Hustle as well as the Grizzlies when it comes to riding the ship this upcoming week. But let's get right to it. The Grizzlies right now are simply not playing good basketball. There's no other way to put it. They are struggling, and they are struggling badly. Between the Phoenix Suns, who are one of the arguably the top five teams in the league, and then last night, the New Orleans Pelicans, who were one of the bottom five teams in the league, you wouldn't have been able to tell a difference between the two teams with how much the Grizzlies struggled against them. A combined 36 points is how much the Grizzlies lost by over the past 48 hours. And for the Grizzlies, they've just not had an answer. The offense has been stagnant outside of Ja Morant. The defense is not getting any stops at all. Teams are having their way with the Grizzlies when it comes to being able to find their offensive grooves. And it doesn't matter whether those teams have been successful coming into games or struggling coming into games. They just absolutely are finding plenty of success, and the Grizzlies just do not have an answer. By the time the Grizzlies get any type of offensive success going, it's just a bit too late, and they wind up having too big of a deficit to try to overcome. And this was going to be something that was a potential possibility coming into this season. When the Grizzlies made their moves in the offseason, trading Jonas Valanciunas, trading Grayson Allen, it was understood that the Grizzlies were doing that as a focus on getting as many assets for the future as they possibly could to utilize at their expense. They were trading the present for the future, using players in Valanciunas and Grayson Allen that they did not feel were going to be a part of their future. They wanted to cash those present assets in now to be able to get future assets that the Grizzlies could utilize as they get closer to contention to give them the best possibility to be a contender. But because those moves were made, it was also understood that there could be the possibility that the Grizzlies could take a step back in the present to better position themselves to take a step forward in the future. But it certainly is fair to look at those moves and say, hey, right now, this is the exact time, this is the exact scenario where Jonas Valanciunas and Grayson Allen would be absolutely wonderful assets to utilize right now. So I think it's fair. If you want to look back at the moves that the Grizzlies made in the offseason, and you can look at them and say, okay, this right now is the time that shows we should have held on to them, while also understanding why the Grizzlies made the move in the first place to focus on the future instead of the present. But I do think a couple of things that play into that factor are how polarizing the Grizzlies season has been, how much success they had to start the season, and how steep of a decline the Grizzlies have suffered. Also, the great play of Jonas as well as Grayson over the past few weeks, that also plays a factor into it as well. So the point that I'm getting at is that I don't really think that the Grizzlies' play right now is something that should completely change how people view the moves that they made in the offseason. The Grizzlies went all in on their young talent, the third youngest team in the league. It was going to be expected for them to have high highs and for them to have low lows. It may just not have been expected that it was going to happen so quickly, that basically in a week's time frame from when October ended through the 1st of November and now over the past 10 days, you've had a night and day difference when it comes to the level the Grizzlies are playing at. And so the youth of this team, I think, is certainly a relevant part of their struggles. But that's not supposed to be enough of a reason to excuse the struggles. This Grizzlies team is simply not playing to its talent level. They know that. The fan base knows that. The people that cover the Grizzlies, they know that. The coaching staff in the front office know that. This team is not playing to the level of their talent right now. And while youth may certainly be a relevant factor, execution and effort are certainly there as well. Now, I'm not questioning the Grizzlies' effort in terms of I don't think they care, or I think that they're being spotty in terms of giving effort sometimes while not giving efforts at other times. I think what it simply comes down to is that it's just a snowball effect of the Grizzlies trying different things to get something to work, but the execution just is not there on so many different levels right now that they eventually just get frustrated. And so, yes, they're in a position to where the effort may be a bit spotty. I can certainly understand that, especially on defense. When the initial coverages are not working as the Grizzlies intend to, and they try to make adjustments, they try to recover, and it's just not there, and three after three after three is falling, I can understand where that could lead to a lack of execution. It's not good. You certainly don't want that to be the case, and I'm not trying to make excuses from this team, but I think it's logical. Right now, on many different levels, the execution is not there for the Grizzlies. And when execution is not there, it's going to, at times, lead to a lack of effort, more than likely. And that right now is hurting Memphis. But we could talk about all the different things that right now are not working out well. The defense can't get stops. The offense is stagnant. Desmond Bane and DeAnthony Melton are struggling to shoot the three. The offensive creativity also is not there. There could be some questions, certainly, about the potential rotations and lineups that Taylor Jenkins is utilizing. But to me, it simply comes down to this. Over the past 10 days, the Grizzlies have shot the three like a bottom five team in the NBA. They also have defended the three worse than any team in the NBA. And if the Grizzlies continue to do that, they're not going to win ballgames. It's that simple. Over the past five games, the Grizzlies have made 41 threes and shot 26% from beyond the arc. The Grizzlies' opponents have made 74 threes and shot 43% behind the arc. The Grizzlies' opposition has a plus 99 advantage from three over the past five games. That basically means that going into each game, the Grizzlies are allowing their opponents to make, on average, seven more threes than Memphis is. And that basically means that the Grizzlies are going into games right now having to overcome a 20-point deficit per game right from the beginning. You're not going to win many ball games if that is what is going on right now. The Grizzlies are going to have to figure out what they need to do to shoot the three better and defend the three better. They're going to have to get more creative on getting opening looks. Seth Partnow, known as Anchorage Man, who writes in detail about The Athletic. He has a new book out as well. He highlighted the fact that a few days ago, the Grizzlies actually were the most improved team in the league at finding open threes this year compared to last year. Well, right now, that's not leading to success. A lot of it may be that shots simply aren't falling, but that's just it. But right now, the shots are not there. The Grizzlies are not making threes as they need to. But even more importantly, the Grizzlies are leaving far too many open threes available for teams to make. It's lack of rotations. Again, it's lack of recovery. It's overhelping. So many different things right now defensively are just not in the right place structure-wise when it comes to the Grizzlies, and it's leaving far too many players open on the Grizzlies' opponents for three. So simply put, yes, there's many things that the Grizzlies need to work on. But straightforward, if the Grizzlies are going into each game right now where they're allowing their opponents to make seven more threes per game than Memphis, you're not going to win many ball games. You're playing like a lottery team if that is what's going on in each game right now. So while it's not the only issue, if the Grizzlies can simply start seeing more shots fall on their end, and if they can start seeing a few more shots miss on the opponent's end, that's going to help right the ship. It's going to take time. It's not an overnight fix, but the Grizzlies do have, in my opinion, a pretty simple avenue. Shoot the three better and defend the three better. And while you can't control shots not going in on your end and too many shots going in on the opponent's end, you can control the consistency of giving yourself the best chance for shots to go in, or giving yourself the best chance of contesting your opponent's shots from not going in. If the Grizzlies can at least do those two things, which are two areas they can certainly improve on, that's all you can ask of them. That's what they need to do to get this ship back in the right direction. But if there is a positive from last night, I will say this. Ja Morant is playing again like an all-star. Well, not again. What I mean by again is each and every time he plays, he's playing like an all-star, like an all-NBA talent. But another encouraging sign is Dylan Brooks coming in, and in his first two games, he's averaging 21.5 points, three assists, five rebounds, shooting just under 50% from the field and 45% from three. He's the number two option right now. Him and Ja combining for 40 to 50 points a game, plus Ja's ability to be able to be a playmaker, that potentially between those two is 50 to 60 points a game of offense right there. The key for the Grizzlies now, and I talked with Taylor Jenkins about it, is getting other options to step up. You've got Desmond Bane, DeAnthony Melton, and Jaren Jackson Jr., each of which can step up and even be the number two option to Ja if Dylan's off one night, or the number three option. The Grizzlies don't need all five of those players to be on every single night. It'd be great, but obviously, as this season has shown so far, that is not something that you can realistically rely on. But if the Grizzlies can at least have Ja be himself as he's being right now, Dylan be there for 18 to 20 points, and then at least one of Bane, Melton, or Jaren Jackson Jr. being there to be worth 18 to 22 points of their own, you're now getting a very solid basis for offense, and that certainly can help out. So if Ja's going to be able to continue being the number one option for the Grizzlies, and then Dylan Brooks is going to step up and be that number two option, that allows for the Grizzlies to then have one of Bane, Melton, or Jaren Jackson Jr., potentially Kyle Anderson as well, stepping up to be that third option. And if the Grizzlies can consistently find that pecking order of consistency in terms of offensive production, that's another avenue they can take to get things on the right track. So there's plenty of things that have to be worked on. The Grizzlies do have a setup to start this week that really could allow for them to get things recalibrated, refocused, whatever you want to call it, to where they hopefully can get in a better place by Thursday when a pretty tough stretch of games in their November schedule comes up. Tomorrow night, they have the game against Houston here in Memphis, and then after that, they've got 2 days of rest and 2 days to regroup. If the Grizzlies can go into those 2 days with a convincing victory against the Rockets and they can be 7-7, I do think they can quickly get things going back in the right direction, but it's going to have to take focus, effort, and commitment to doing what needs to be done, especially when it comes to shooting and defending the three. But let's get into a bit more fun conversation, and that includes Dave Mason of BetOnline.ag, who was kind enough to join me late last week discussing Ja Morant's odds at Most Improved Player, a few fun odds when it comes to the Grizzlies bench, as well as the Grizzlies' odds in winning the division this year. Dave Mason of BetOnline.ag joins us in just a moment. Dave, to the show, do want to point out that obviously we are now in the home stretch of the college football season, as well as we're getting into the second half of the NFL season. And if you're someone that loves to watch as many games as possible, but you got to borrow passwords from relatives or friends, you got to watch the games on multiple devices, it's a hassle to really be able to enjoy the football seasons to the level that you want to. I may have a solution. And I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and it's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. content varies by package. As I just mentioned, the Grizzlies love it when they have several options they can rely on for offensive success. Where if you want some success when it comes to your daily diet, a reliable option for you is Built Bar. Great tasting protein bar that provides a great taste. You can have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack, but also great health benefit and an energy boost to your day as well. The great thing is you can go to Built.com right now, put in the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Plus, you can also put in the promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com and get 50% off your next order from Built Bar, but you also get 18 different flavors you can choose from to make your day better as well. Great selection of flavors, a great opportunity to get a bit of a discount at Will. Go to Built.com, choose whatever flavor you enjoy, and put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, a special segment of Locked On Grizzlies with a great representative, a great mind from one of our title sponsors here on the Locked On Podcast Network from BetOnline.ag. Dave Mason has been kind enough to join us, a great source when it comes to talking about betting odds, all things NBA. Dave, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Cannot complain at all. Enjoying watching some Grizzlies basketball. I'm liking how the odds ended for my Atlanta Braves when it comes to baseball. And hopefully they stick well with the Titans when it comes to football. But we'll stick with the Grizzlies here. Dave, I'll ask you this question real quickly before we get to some specific odds with the Grizzlies. Just from a betting perspective on your end, the NBA season so far, have there been some big surprises and big disappointments with how the season has gone on?
It's still early, right? Surprises? No, I mean, shoot. Surprises, surprise team, Warriors, I mean, they're 10-1. You know, it's not a huge surprise, I guess, because, I mean, we expected them with all their firepower to come back and healthy. I mean, that they would be up there again. But, I mean, 10-1, they're looking like the best team in the league right now. Lakers, on the other hand, I mean, they're struggling. They're always amongst the favorites. So they're at least 7-4 and in the bottom of their division. That's a couple of the biggest surprises. I mean, that Lakers team, they're just so old, though, right? I mean, sure, they got LeBron. They got all these, you know, you look at their roster, and it's littered with some of the best of the best over the last decade. But, man, they're just getting old. So, the Washington Wizards, I mean, come on. They're on top of the Eastern Conference. That has to be a huge surprise. But it's so early, though. You know, it's just so early that there's a long way to go. But those are probably some of the biggest surprises so far.
Well, of course, here in Memphis, you know, being 6-5 currently, I would say that Grizzlies fans would take that record with how tough of a schedule that they've had. But the most consistent source of success for the Grizzlies, I know Grizzlies fans would take. And that is the great start to the season that we're seeing from Ja Morant. 27 points a night. 7 assists a night. He has moved to the top of the most improved player odds over at betonline.ag and now has the 8th best MVP odds as well. Dave, from your perspective, I know that he's moved up there to the top of the most improved player odds during the season. What do you think of the outlook for him? It certainly seems like even if he regresses a bit, if he maintains this level of play, it becomes an all-star even, that certainly should put him in the catbird seat for a good portion of the season for the most improved player award.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a pole position, right? I think right now it's a two-horse race. He and Miles Bridges, again, we're early. There's a long way to go. I can't see him regressing. I mean, he's just such a dang stud. Star last year, the year before, to superstar. I mean, you know, he's just so darn good, and it helps that he's on the highlight reels just about every night. I mean, he's on the ESPN top 10 or whatever, seems like every other night. So once again, it's a two horse race as of now between he and Miles Bridges. Morant is a slight favorite over Bridges. So, you know, he's going to be an all-star. I can't see him not being you know, MVP's probably got a little work to do there, probably too early there to talk about MVP. But, you know, this is a guy for the next 10 years we're going to be talking about, you know, in the best of the league. So, and he's so exciting, you know, and it seems like such a cool dude, too. That always helps, you know, those guys are fun to root for.
Yeah, when you look at the most improved player odds right now, you know, last year Julius Randle won most improved player, Dave, and it seems like that the way that it's been recently is that over the past 7 or 8 years, the most improved player has been a player who finally cashed in on all his potential and became a surprise, clear all-star, all-NBA level player. Ja's doing that this year. But after him, you've got Miles Bridges, Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole, Tyrese Maxey, Anthony Edwards, players who Bridges could be an all-star this year, but these other players are just simply taking the next step in their careers. Is that how the layers go for most improved player? You're most likely going to see the guy winning it being an all-star or all-NBA player more than a guy who may not be on an all-star level but is taking a big jump. Typically, the most improved player is going to be someone who, not necessarily out of nowhere, but unexpectedly plays at an all-star or all-NBA level. Is that typically how it correlates in the league?
It seems so, but there's no blueprint. You know, if there isn't a player that, you know, getting all that pub, you know, whether it's being an all-star or, you know, all-NBA, you know, top three teams or you know, averaging, what's he averaging now, 26 points a game and you know, all that helps. And of course, all the highlight reels help too. So all that helps. So that's going to put you ahead of a guy, one of those second or third tier guys, like I said, who went from a role player to a very good player. So all that helps, but there is no blueprint. If there is no candidate that year that fits that all-star level, well, then you're going to go down to some of the next guys. You know, there's no shame in what Miles Bridges is doing. You know, he went from, I think he averaged like 12 and a half points a game last year. And now he's over 20, like 21 points a game, I believe. And from 6 boards to, I believe, 7.5 he's averaging now. So there's no shame in a guy like Miles Bridges either. But, you know, Morant definitely has the edge just because he's at that superstar level right now.
Shifting focus a bit, I know that when it comes to, I would love to talk with you about Dylan Brooks' Defensive Player of the Year, but, you know, that's going to be hard to do. I'll ask a question about that in just a second. But I do think that besides Most Improved Player of the Year, we were hoping Jaren Jackson Jr. could be in that conversation as well. But another area where I think the Grizzlies may not get as much love as they should is Sixth Man of the Year. And I do know, I don't believe that Kyle Anderson right now has any type of odds for Sixth Man of the Year. But it does seem to be that when he started playing well, the Grizzlies bench really started playing well. When it comes to those Sixth Man of the Year candidates, it really seems like that team success correlates well with the Sixth Man of the Year. Is that what you see in these Sixth Man of the Year conversations? If the Grizzlies bench winds up being the best in the league, and that is because Kyle Anderson played well, does that help him out, or is he still going to kind of be behind the eight ball if the Grizzlies finish like eighth or ninth in the Western Conference?
It certainly helps, without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. It helps anytime your team's doing well. That helps that no matter what the personal awards are. You know, last year, Jordan Clarkson, I believe, won the Sixth Man of the Year, and you know what he and the Jazz did last year. I believe they're the best team in the NBA during the regular season that year. The year before was Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers. Clippers are right up there, one of the best teams in the NBA. Then, you know, Lou Williams kind of had a stranglehold over that on that award for years, and always with good teams with the Clippers and Raptors years back. So it definitely helps. You know, your guy has some work to do, without a doubt. There's some good candidates out there, like the kid down in Miami. He's probably the leader right now, Hero. You know, and he's also a guy you're mentioning for most improved player of the year as well. So, again, we're at the beginning of the season, so there's all sorts of stuff's going to happen. There's going to be guys that pop on the screen that we're not even talking about now, and vice versa. Guys are talking about that just kind of dissipate and go away.
With these awards, Dave, and this is where I was going to get to Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved Player, as well as Rookie of the Year. Do some awards put more emphasis on counting statistics? Like when you look at Defensive Player of the Year, for instance, is one of the reasons why we may see big men win that award more often because it's easier to track their success via blocks and, you know, things such as that than it is perimeter players? Do counting statistics really play a big role in some of these secondary individual awards like Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year at the end of the day?
I mean, you know, stats, you always need stats, especially in today's, you know, sports world with fantasy and everything. We're just so addicted to all these stats. So you definitely always need stats. But, you know, it's like a year, it's harder to show up that, you know, whether it's block shots or whatever, it's harder to show up on the stats sheet. You know, you sometimes just get those shut down guys who can shut a guy down and they're not getting a lot of steals. They're not getting a lot of blocks, but they're shutting a guy down and they're getting a ton of notoriety. But yeah, you know, it's usually pretty much a dominant by post guys, whether it be, I believe, Gobert last year, Giannis, Gobert. I think Gobert's won either like two of the last 3 years or three of the last 4 years. And, you know, we all know what he does down low for the Jazz. So, but, you know, then there's guys like Leonard and Draymond Green, you know, they're not block a lot of shots. So Leonard's just a lockdown defender, you know, for the San Antonio teams when he won the Defensive Player of the Year. So recently it's been the big guys, but, you know, the perimeter guys can do it too. But yeah, you need to get those stats, man. You just need to in today's world, with the sports world.
I agree completely. And you're right, you know, just from the perspective of fantasy. And it's just, you know, at the end of the day, if you can put the easier avenue you can take to put together a resume, it seems like the stronger, you know, chance you're going to have. One other thing before we stop today, we're with him. We're with Dave Mason of BetOnline.ag, who's been kind enough to join us. Also wanting to look at the division odds right now in the Southwest Division. The Dallas Mavericks are at a minus 185. The Grizzlies are at a plus 325. The Grizzlies do have a couple of division matchups against the Pelicans and the Rockets. We hope that they're winning. But Dave, two big matchups between the Grizzlies and the Mavericks early in December. Those early season head-to-head division matchups between the two favorites in the division, how impactful are they on the odds? I know that by the end, the Mavericks could be three or four games ahead of the Grizzlies, but if the Grizzlies win both those games, do those really have a big impact on odds all themselves, or is it still just, hey, it's too early in the season to really put too much emphasis on those early division games?
Yeah, it depends. You know, there's so many different scenarios. You know, if the Mavericks are pulled ahead and or if it's a neck and neck race, how convincing those wins were. You know, if they were just close wins, or the Mavericks really dominated, or conversely, if the Grizzlies really dominated the Mavericks. Those odds are always on the move. Division odds, you know, they're on the move all throughout the year. They won't move as much early as they'll move, you know, if these guys are playing, you know, in March, and it's a close race, then they're going to have a bigger impact because a win's going to mean a whole hell of a lot more on when one team's one game behind the other in March than it would in November, December. So they could have an impact. It's really hard to say. There's just so many different scenarios, but they'll be on the move somewhat. You know, if there's a sweep either way, if they split, I think they're playing twice in three games, right? I believe. Correct. Yeah. That's so, So they'll be on the move somewhat, but it just depends how much on, you know, if it's a sweep for either side and how many games behind and, you know, how convincing those wins are.
And then just from the last question I'll ask you this, getting back to Ja Morant, just from, you know, hopefully we certainly feel that he has good odds to win most improved player. Dave, from your perspective, looking at the league as a whole and looking at, you know, how things change, how the fortunes change for teams moving forward, does it feel like in your time observing the NBA or what have you, when you have someone as special as Ja Morant in a place that we've not had a talent like that before in Memphis, it really feels as if the future of this franchise with the Grizzlies has the chance to get to a new level it hasn't been before with Ja Morant? That's how special of a talent he is. And even outside odds and betting and things like that, there clearly is a lucky perspective for Grizzlies fans to have him in the fold with how special he already is and can be moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's, I kind of always root for the quote unquote smaller market teams, especially in today's day, you know, where they're putting all these super teams together. That's really turned me off in the NBA, you know, what goes on in the Lakers and all that. And you know, everybody's going, all these veterans going to play with their buddies and forming these super teams. So I'm going to be rooting for Memphis. You know, I have no ties to Memphis, the Grizz, but I'm kind of a neutral guy when it comes to NBA. Well, I'm a Sixers guy, but I don't want to talk what the heck's going on up there, even though we do have a good team. It's just a disaster with all the Ben Simmons stuff. So I'm kind of adopting the Grizzlies as my second team. Just, you know, I love watching Morant and, you know, a smaller market teams that's doing it the old fashioned way. So, you know, it's, they're going to match and hopefully they can lock up Morant for many years and he can get some talent around them and they'll be a thing. Cause, man, he's exciting. I love watching him. He's one of the most exciting players in the league. I enjoy watching him without a doubt.
Well, not only that, the excitement is there. The potential has always been there. Now looking at it, translating to the production that it has is certainly awesome to see. Dave Mason from BetOnline.ag, a great mind when it comes to odds and looking at things from a betting perspective. Dave, where can folks in the Memphis area that follow the Grizzlies, where can they find your great work going forward for the rest of the season and beyond?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L. Come on over and follow me. I talk sports, the odds, movements, all that good stuff. And, of course, I work for betonline.ag. That's .ag. We offer everything you need to bet on, NBA, football, baseball, hockey, you name it, we got it. We got the earliest opening odds, all sorts of promotions on the promotions page, 100% bonus, 50% bonus, whatever you need, casino, poker, we got it all.
His name's Dave Mason. Dave, if you'll stick with us for just a second, but thank you so much for joining us. For Dave Mason, my name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at Stats As They See, the show at Locked On Grizz. Make sure to check out our regular show today on YouTube as well. But for Dave Mason, my name's Sean Coleman. Thanks so much for joining us here once again on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.